about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, when you get a second, stop looking at my boobs.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
What?
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
You know, a lot of people wonder what happens after the show, and I'll tell you. Well, the clothes come off, and it's a big sweaty pile. We turn the cameras to the wall, and we love.
What? Is it? I'm sorry. I mean, how often? I mean... Oh, man, nobody thinks that's funny?
And now...
Man, you'd think the quality would dip after 5,500 shows. The dog...
Well, the FCC isn't laughing.
Our feature presentation.
No, they are not. Hey, party people, welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Wednesday. The secret to our quality not dipping was to start at such a low level that it would be impossible to dip.
That is an excellent point.
We don't believe in raising expectations to the point where people are disappointed when they tune into the show. They tune in and they go, yeah, I guess it's about the same as I remembered.
I think that's a great way to just live your life in general, don't you?
Lowered expectations. I mean, Beer Mug does it in every facet of his life.
Yeah.
Let's face it. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Bean. What's up? What's going on? Not much.
Mugs, how are you?
Speaking of lower facets, Bean, I'm beginning to think I need 2 secretaries.
What?
2 secretaries?
Yeah. Not, let alone one.
Yeah. Why do you even need one?
Well, last night was the South Park the 20th anniversary.
Uh-huh.
And I woke up this morning, checked my email, find that out. And I was like, oh, awesome. I'm glad I wrote down the 27th of September instead of the 20th. Yeah.
So is this something that they were having an event and you were invited to and you missed it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it was an event, and Omar and Dave went down to get some audio, and I was supposed to be with them.
I see.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So you failed again.
It was a work event.
Yeah.
Well, you know, given your track record, we didn't expect you to be there.
It's not helping, though.
Muggs is unbelievable.
Yeah.
When he says he will do something, and by the way, when Muggs says he's going to do something, he says it enthusiastically,
yes,
energetically, and with 100% certainty. We say, hey, Muggs, there's a South Park 20th anniversary event. You want to go and get some tape? And he goes, yes! Oh, my God, yes, I'd love to. And you think, okay, Muggs is in.
Yeah.
And then there's about a 70% chance from that point on that he'll never think of it again and certainly won't attend it and get audio. And every time he comes in the day after an event like this, and he has a new reason why he didn't go, even though he said he would and we were counting on him.
I'm bad.
What a fail.
I'm bad.
We shouldn't be surprised. Remember all the food challenges? Yes, I can eat more tacos than anybody else. Yes, I can do the cinnamon challenge. Yes.
Yes.
I mean, there was one single thing, in spite of that enthusiasm, that you succeeded at.
Well, this hurts especially harder because I really was looking forward to the South Park thing.
Apparently, that matters not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. But I don't know why you say yes to things if you're not going to do them, though. Because have you noticed that my life has been the opposite?
Yeah.
No matter what I am asked to do, I say no.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe I should start doing that.
And again, lowered expectations.
Yep.
That way, when I don't show up, no one is disappointed or surprised.
That is true.
All right, let's turn our attention to someone else. Eddie Murphy, back in the news in a big way. This is a guy I hadn't thought about in a long time, but two things have happened recently. One is I saw the trailer for that new Tower Heist movie.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it looks really, really good.
It kind of looks like Beverly Hills Cop, that kind of vibe.
Yes,
which
it looks
he was
like,
so good in.
It looks like Eddie Murphy is doing adult comedy again,
yes,
rather than just another, you know, another kiddie movie.
Yep.
And this is the movie. Ben Stiller is in it. Who plays the older financier who rips everybody in the tower off?
I don't know.
Some accomplished actor. But you first see the trailer of the movie and you go, it looks like it's a heist movie, basically. Ben Stiller's going to go try to get the money back that this guy's ripped off. And then the guy he enlists to help him right out of prison is Axel Foley himself. It's Eddie Murphy, you're right, in the Beverly Hills Cop mode. And it looks like he's really, really funny. So Eddie Murphy may be coming back in our consciousness. Then the other thing is he got named to host the Oscars, which I think you know, stunned a lot of people. And partly because the guy who made the heist movie is the guy who's producing the Oscars this year. Right. So Eddie Murphy's going to be hosting the Oscars. And it's been so long for people to see Eddie Murphy do anything, particularly on a stage. I don't think anyone has any idea what to expect. It could be brilliant, as Eddie Murphy used to be, or it could be a disaster. We have no idea what it's going to be like.
But, you know, if it is a disaster, that's just as much fun.
We
can talk about it the next day, and oh my God.
Well, Eddie's old friend Steve Martin, you recall they did the Bowfinger movie together. That was one of Eddie Murphy's greatest roles.
Yeah, very funny.
Steve Martin has written an open letter to Eddie Murphy with advice on hosting the Oscars. Oh. And I think there's some great, great advice in here. Now, of course, Steve Martin has hosted the Oscars three different times, twice by himself, or once by himself and twice with Alec Baldwin as his co-host. The two of them work so well together. So here's what Steve Martin says to Eddie Murphy. Hi, Eddie. Heard you're hosting this year's Oscars. First of all, congratulations. Even though you didn't ask for my advice and, in fact, specifically said, please, no advice, here are a few tips. One, whatever you do, don't have a co-host. They're a big pain in the ass and they just keep breaking your SNL hosting record. Number two, start slimming down now. You looked kind of paunchy in Norbit.
See, oh, nice.
Yeah. Wears a lot of fat suits.
Right.
People always say it's a disgrace that neither you nor I have ever won an Oscar, but they're just being correct. The losers can feel very sad, so when you're backstage with them, pat their backs and shake your head sadly. It's a blast. Fortunately, only you and I can get away with smuggling out an Oscar in our pants.
All right.
Remember to relax and have a good time while 12,000 live bloggers rip you to shreds.
Good point.
If you feel the show is running long, you're probably thinking of 2010, 2009, 2008, 2007, 2006, 2005, 2004, or any of the shows from the 90s. If you feel tired midway through, just give Neil Patrick Harris a Red Bull and throw some sheet music at him. Eddie, since you and I are old friends, and I sincerely thought you deserved an Oscar nomination for Bowfinger, the movie we did together that stands alone in comedy history, from which we got no credit or acknowledgement except large paychecks and drivers and any type of food we wanted delivered to us every day in our really nice trailers, I wish you all the best on your Oscar hosting gig. Sincerely, your friend, Steve Martin.
He's the best.
He's the best. Let him host it.
Oh, I know. God.
He's so good.
Him and Baldwin
together are so good. And you got to imagine, as successful as they are as a hosting duo, they ask them all the time and they probably just, you know,
it's
wisely.
It's a lot of work, right?
It's a lot of work. Yeah. They got other things going on. So anyway, I know we're a few months ahead of when the Oscars are actually going to be on, but it does kind of make me sort of look forward to it when I start to seeing stuff like
that's
that.
That's very cool.
All right, let's move on. Talk about an all-new Kevin and Bean show for today.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah, really, in fact. Point Break, a classic movie from the 80s, is the latest Hollywood movie that is being remade. Seems like they're remaking everything. Anything that anyone ever loved is going to be, there's going to be a new version in theaters.
Yeah.
Curiously, it's a terrible movie, yet people still love it. And that's a fascinating genre. Movies that you know are bad, but you can't stop watching. Every single time Point Break is on the TV, our own Ralph Garman watches it. If he comes across it, he's seen it a billion times. He can't turn it off. That's going to be the topic today on the Kevin and Bean shows. Those movies that you know are bad, yet you still keep watching. Also, it's Wednesday. Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage is going to be happening today.
Yeah.
Charlie Hunnam. Thank you, Lisa. Hunnam is in studio.
Yeah.
He's the dreamy star of FX's Sons of Anarchy. We've got him joining us. Let me see. What else do we have here? I guess that's close to it. Oh, brand new internet roundup on the program today, too. And if you missed our conversation with Yvonne Strahovski yesterday from Chuck and the new De Niro movie, we've got highlights of that for you coming up just after the top of the hour as well. Ralph will be here with all the Showbiz Beat. That's next, coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. I guess, once again, Muggs barely tells me we're on the air. It's 106.7 K-Rock KROQ at 5:50. Can we just fire Muggs now?
No.
Can we just get it out of the way?
No.
You don't have to work with him though, as much as
You're
I do, going though.
He does, man. I'm drawing a line in the sand here. Unacceptable.
Really?
Yep.
Hey, Muggs, how about an effing countdown? When we get close, let me know.
That was my bad. I was jammed up. I was asking for some information, and he got distracted. I take that one. I apologize. Bean, it's okay, man. Let's just move forward. Let's. It's a brand new day. Let's go forward, man.
I know. All I'm trying to do is
upward and onward. We can do it. USA, USA, USA.
just trying to make the show sound good, and Muggs does everything he can to stand in the way of that. That's all I'm saying.
But when you throw the car in reverse and you get off on the side of the road and start waving your hands, it doesn't look good either. Come on, man. Come on.
I agree. I just at some point I want some cooperation from that position. That's all.
USA! USA!
Time for the Showbiz Bean. Here's Ryan.
There we go. That's it, Bean. That's the spirit. Woo! Speaking of USA, how about Buzz Aldrin, huh? American hero.
Oh, the best.
Buzz Aldrin. I'm Buzz. Look, everyone knows this dude is an old pervert. He has broken up with his wife, and she believes it's because he's having a midlife crisis at the end of his life at 81. She is blaming the failure of their marriage to a 51-year-old. Sexy younger woman.
It's a teenager for Buzz.
Michelle Suclon, her name is. And Lois, Buzz's soon-to-be ex-wife, claims that this Michelle met Buzz at a book signing, and she was very aggressive and stole her man. She's one of the predatory women of Los Angeles that goes after married men, she claims.
Fabulous.
Who's making a play for an 81-year-old?
Oh, hi, Michelle. Yeah, you want me to sign your book? I'm Buzz.
Now, wasn't Mrs. Aldrin, they were married a long time, right?
Yes, I believe they were married 20-some years, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And she's, you know, this is one of those stories where she met him when he was just a, you know, broke-ass drunk, you know, alcoholic, couldn't get his life together, and nurtured him back to health and gave him strength and clarity to move on and find a much younger woman and leave her.
How dare she, he, them. Lois is still hoping for a reconciliation despite their split, but no, Buzz has a hot 51-year-old. Yeah.
I'm Ashley Costa.
And I'm Buzz.
Yeah. Come on.
Time for another facelift.
What's with his face, by the way? Is he still in space? Is there no gravity on his face?
I don't know, but if you you know, if you cross him, if you bring anything up, if you broach an uncomfortable subject with Mr. Aldrin, he'll kick your ass.
I know. If I was 50 years younger, I'd kick his ass. That's all I know. Olivia Munn has the perfect cure for obesity.
Yes.
She says she has invented a new diet called If I Don't See It, I Don't Eat It.
Ah, she's hilarious.
Isn't she just so?
Yes.
She says the idea is to avoid everything she's unsure of. So she sticks to whole foods like fruits, vegetables, salads, grilled meats, and lots of water. That's genius. That's genius, Olivia. Olivia says she dropped 16 pounds in 2 months.
Yay, Olivia.
Good for you, Olivia.
Now that's well-performed comedy.
Gerard Butler and Jessica Biel are Hollywood's hottest couple.
Oh.
Yeah. They got cozy on the set of a movie called Playing the Field, but spent a lot of time together after filming was over, having dinner and riding motorcycles together, and they're just they're young and in love, so congratulations to those two. Gwyneth Paltrow says that her daughter is totally vegetarian and totally her own choice.
How old is her daughter?
I don't know. One. She said one day she just spit chicken out and said no and went totally vegan after that.
That's bullshit.
Now, you know, our kids hate those chicken tenders.
They sure do.
They sure do.
Now, don't a lot of little kids, Ralph, and I don't think you've gotten to this point with Olivia yet, but a lot of little kids, when they first make that connection in their little storybooks and they see the pig and the cow in the book and they realize that that's what they're eating, don't they freak out for like 5 minutes?
Yeah, and then they realize, well, it tastes good. I don't care.
And then they go right back to it, right? They generally don't make a lifelong decision under the age of 5.
No, they don't. But Gwyneth's kids are special.
Well, they probably are better than everybody else's kids. That's true.
They are. Of course they are. Did you guys watch The New Girl last night?
No. Yes. Yes, I did.
Awesome show.
Well, I do love Zoe so much.
I know. And I am not as big a fan as you are, so I think I went in with a little bit clearer vision. But I was so impressed by that comedy last night.
Good.
One of the best first episodes of a series I've seen in a long, long time. And Zoe Deschanel is in the news. She says to Us Weekly Magazine that she, for the longest time, could not understand why she was constantly hearing rumors and seeing stories about her partying in clubs all the time. She said she never goes to clubs, doesn't go to bars, doesn't go to the Hollywood party scene, could not understand why witnesses were saying Zoe Deschanel was seen here and there. And then it dawned on her when someone mistook her for Katy Perry at a party. And she realized that people are reporting on Katy Perry and blaming it on her.
How about that?
So she wants Katy Perry to cut it out.
They do kind of look alike, they now do. That you mention it.
And I think a less informed person could make that mistake easily.
Zoe's going to be on our show next week.
I know.
She's supposed to be this week. She had to postpone, but we're very excited to talk to her next week.
I really was impressed by the show. That was very funny and very well written. Let's talk about movies for a second. I have got passes to give away to a very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of a movie that I've been looking forward to for some time. Real Steel!
Yay!
You know, I'm no Mo. this Hugh Jackman fella.
Yeah.
I
predict, first of all, a big, big career for this kid. I think he's going to go places. But secondly, he's like a statue. He's like a Greek god. He's like some sort of sculpted rock. He's a handsome fella.
It's beautiful.
And he's a badass, too. He's Wolverine! In this movie, he's a former boxer who has to build himself a robot because that's all they'll let box anymore. They don't let people box anymore. Just robots. And he builds one and teaches it how to live. And more importantly, how to love.
Is Larry Merchant in the movie? Does he have to break any robots up?
Oh, I hope so.
Awesome.
And Evangeline Lilly also.
Oh.
In this movie. If you'd like to see it, we've got tickets for the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers at that number that get through. We'll get a pair of passes to attend our special screening. The movie's in theaters everywhere. What is that, October 7th there, Muggs?
Yes,
is that what
sir.
It is? Friday, October 7th. So if you don't win, don't feel too bad because you'll get a chance to see it.
Oh, Muggs does what you want him to do. Interesting.
Because I'm nice to him. Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
I
tried being nice to him for the first 6 months. Then I ran out of steam on it.
I'm trying to keep everybody abreast of what's new on television because this is a big premiere week. So here's what you have to look forward to tonight. X Factor. Everybody's
Come
looking
on.
Forward to seeing the X Factor,
yep.
Right? You got to check out the X Factor.
Got to check it out.
This is Simon Cowell's new competition talent show. Paula Abdul's back on the panel. You got to give it a shot and see what's up with that, right?
And I know, I like the schedule that I've been on with these musical talent shows. American Idol's once a year. You mm-hmm. have it, you know, January to May or whatever, and then right. you're done. You don't have to. No offense to our good friend Carson Daly, but I didn't need the voice.
Oh,
I didn't need the singing bee or the
what
spelling.
What about the voice off? What about the voice off?
The sing off.
Sing
I didn't
off.
I didn't need any of those shows. I don't even watch America's Got Talent. I just am over all of the other singing competitions, but I feel like I have to at least check out X Factor because, you know, it's been hyped for 2 years now.
Yeah. And then
Simon Cowell does know what he's doing. He's a good television maker.
And then the beginning of next year, of course, we've got Hum, 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 the new humming competition show, which is just all humming. No musicians, just hum. Just
you know, the way we're going with these musical shows, eventually there will be a Kevin Abid Whistle the Hits program.
Give me a hummer.
I like it.
Also debuting tonight, brand new series called Revenge.
About the Hamptons. About revenge in the Hamptons. I say. I say, put that knife down. Don't kill me, Buffy.
And this stars some hottie, right?
Yeah, they're all hot people at the Hamptons.
Okay.
CSI, Crime Scene Investigation, returns with a brand new star, Ted Danson.
Oh, that's right.
Heading up the CSI unit there in Las Vegas. You can check that out. Harry's Law is back.
Yeah.
Law and Order Special Victims Unit. Criminal Minds. Modern Family returns tonight. Woo! The Emmy Award-winning best comedy. And
1 hour episode tonight, Modern Family.
The Middle also is coming back tonight, so you can check that out. Today's celebrity birthdays. Well, I'm just going to have to pick some of these out because it's like 74 people on this list. It's just nuts. So let's start with Stephen King, legendary author of many horror films and the horror books, rather, 64 years old today. Bill Murray. Bill.
Yeah.
Bill, make more movies, please.
He's the best.
Thank you, Bill. He's 61 years old. Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm is 46. Ricky Lake, talk show host and currently on Dancing with the Stars, I want to say.
Yes, that's correct.
She's 43 years old today. Actor Luke Wilson is 40 years old. Liam Gallagher from Oasis and BDI, he is 39. Nicole Richie celebrates her 30th birthday today. And actress Maggie Grace from Lost.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We love her so. She's 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show. It seems like now more than ever, Lisa, it's nothing but remakes at the movie theaters.
Yeah, it's kind of depressing.
A lot of remakes. A lot of sequels. All the biggest movies of every year anymore are remakes and sequels. Straw Dogs is a remake. Just came out in theaters last week. Of course, Dirty Dancing is around the corner. Footloose is coming out soon. But no movie is creating more of an uproar about the upcoming remake than Point Break.
Beloved now, Point Break.
Exactly. Point Break, which you know, some people listening may not have seen, is from 20 years ago, from 1991, directed by Kathryn Bigelow, who probably now is best known for winning an Oscar for directing The Hurt Locker. But this is a movie that she did back in 1991 with Patrick Swayze, with Keanu Reeves, with Gary Busey. Mm-hmm. And people just are obsessed with this movie. They love this movie. People are so upset that this movie is being remade. People are like, hey, don't screw with perfection. Don't screw with my childhood. What the hell are you doing? So we wanted to find out from somebody who certainly should have an opinion on it, somebody who knows more about Point Break than anybody, the star of the film himself, Keanu Reeves, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Keanu. I hear a phone ringing is more than I'm actually hearing Keanu, which is a surprise to me.
Hello?
Oh, there he is.
Keanu, hi, are you there?
Ah, yes. How are you?
Well, we're fine. I don't know if you heard the introduction, but we were talking about the chatter in Hollywood that Point Break is being remade.
Ah, or is it?
Well, I mean, I think the report is that Alcon Entertainment and Warner Brothers are going to redo the movie.
Ah, or are they?
All right, let's assume for the purposes of this conversation that the remake is being made.
Okay, excellent. Excellent.
You carry that around with you all the time?
Ah, yes.
How about that? You were Johnny Utah in the film. What do you remember about making Point Break?
Or was I?
Yes.
You definitely were.
Ah, yes. Excellent. Okay. Yes. Utah, get me two.
Yes, right. That's the movie we're talking about. I am an FBI agent. Remember,
Gary
that's your movie.
Busey.
Uh-huh.
Gary Busey.
Was also in that.
Right. Uh-huh.
And Patrick Swayze was also in it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah,
all three of us were in that film.
You were, right.
Point Break. Directed by Catherine Bigelow.
We actually did all that in the setup. But my question is, how do you feel about them remaking this movie that is beloved by so many?
Ah, or are they?
Let's say, yes, they are remaking the movie.
Yes,
how do you feel about
it? The movie.
No. I'm saying, for the purpose of this conversation, we're all agreeing that we're not going to question anymore whether they're remaking the movie. Now I want to know.
I agree.
How do you feel about it?
I'm torn about it.
Okay. You are torn. Okay,
first
how come?
First of all, I think Point Break, like Hamlet and many other great pieces of literature, can be interpreted in many different ways.
Hmm.
Yet, of course, I also have a soft spot in my heart for it because it was a very important film to me personally because it got me out on the waves.
Right.
And I played football on the beach.
Uh-huh. Yes, you certainly did.
And I tackled Patrick Swayze in the surf.
Uh-huh, a lot of fun.
And we had a lot of close physical contact.
Oh.
You mean
we were rolling around in the surf together?
In the context of football.
Something stabbed me in the leg.
Hmm?
Oh, what? I don't read the gay subtext if that's what you're suggesting from that.
Or it just, do you?
No, I'm saying that I don't. I'm saying that.
Or are you?
It's got a pretty good pedigree. This new version has a screenplay by Kurt Wimmer. He's the guy that wrote that Angelina Jolie Salt movie, so it might be good.
Ah, or will it?
We don't know.
Instead of surfing, Keanu, it's going to be set in the world of international extreme sports.
Of course it is.
Right.
Everything's extreme these days.
Yes, it is.
Back in my day, we just surfed. And said, I am an FBI agent.
Yes, you did. It was a simpler time. So
we put on masks of dead presidents. Mm-hmm.
That's how you committed the robberies, yeah.
Oh, those were good times.
They
now
were good times.
Extreme sports, and they'll probably put on faces of the judges of American Idol.
Well, that might be one way to update it, I guess.
Or will it?
Would you be interested in having a cameo role in the new Point Break, if they ask?
Yes. I'd like a cameo as Johnny Utah. Former quarterback and FBI agent.
Well, maybe that might happen. They might ask you to do that.
Ah, or will they?
I don't have any idea, Keanu. I'm exhausted by this conversation.
Or are you?
Yes! Thanks a lot for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up in minutes right now. It's time for the Kevin and Bean Afro Line on the air for you at 323-520-AFRO. That's our 24-hour-a-day voicemail. There's been a lot of Gwyneth Paltrow hating going on the show lately.
Mm-hmm.
Not for me. I love her. But people were not impressed with her quote-unquote ad-lib skills when she stepped out on the stage of the Emmys the other night. I think that's what this first call is about.
The prompter was down, so I'm going to have to wing it. Here are the nominees for Best Comedy Series. Really? Was that wing it, Gwyneth effing Paltrow, you idiot? Any 3-year-old could have said that. And your dress was terrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so there. You may have heard Ralph made mention a couple of days ago here on the show that there's a radio award called the Marconi. And I don't put much stock in stuff like this, but I guess it's nice to win every once in a while recognition from your peers. And the Marconi is the biggest award that you can win in radio. By the way, it's also tempered by the fact that Ryan Seacrest also won one. So really, how good do you have to be to win this award if Ryan Seacrest wins one? Have you heard his show? But the Kevin and Bean Show was honored this year with a 2011 Marconi, and I think this has been a shock to some listeners.
You guys won an award for your show? Really? Have they listened to you at all?
I don't
think
they do. Maybe they don't. Maybe it's a back channel, like we sent some money to a guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it happened. But, yeah, thanks for your support on that. Talking about the beautiful Yvonne Strahovski that we had on the show recently.
Hello, Yvonne Strahovski. I'm Bean. So in your new movie, Killer Elite, is there any other kind of action in the film? Are you and Jason? I mean, is it that kind of movie, too? Hey, Steve. This is the part where Steve, in quotation marks, would queue up. What's up, Callie?
What's up, Callie, indeed. Here's another call for you, Lisa, about you and your little dog, Boner.
Okay. Hey, Lisa May. You know, I was hoping that you'd be able to help me with a problem. I think you'd be rather familiar with it. I, too, have a 4-pound boner, and sometimes it gets cold, and I was just hoping you had a warm place for me to put it. Let me know, all right? Thanks.
You do get propositioned quite a bit on the Afro line.
I do. And I have the warmest place for you to put it.
Aw, look at that. You just made that dude's day. Isn't the problem with America that it's too hard to get pot? I mean, isn't that what's really going on here? It's almost impossible to find a way to get marijuana. And that's why I love the fact that this guy got his pot card, can legally get marijuana, is still complaining.
I got my clinic card to buy medical medicine from the cannabis, and the places don't open until 9 a.m. Useless. Useless. I need to smoke before I work so I can listen to Kevin and Bean. Blah! Blah!
You don't have any leftover from the day before? You can't just, like, save some from yesterday and use that in the morning before you go to work? You got to go every day and get new?
Apparently when he has it, he uses it.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Wow, no shelf life on pot at that dude's house. We've had the Afro line for many, many years. We always appreciate the fact that you pick up the phone and give us a call. This guy, though, still, after all this time, I think is a little bit confused about what the Afro line means.
Hi, is this the Afro line? I would like to place an order for a new Afro. I'm looking for a black fro, not necessarily a Jufro. I want curls, but I was thinking, you know, maybe like a closer to dreads, between dreads and curls. Not too greasy. Greasy fros are just grody. But good afro, good 6 inches of hair. I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, we don't really sell the Afros, but thank you for thinking of us anyway. I guess it was only a matter of time. Dancing with the Stars season began this week. It's time for the first Dancing with the Stars joke, I guess.
Yeah, what's Chaz Bono's favorite football team? The Cincinnati Bengals.
Come on.
What's
really?
A laugh track?
How does he get that much reaction to that poor a joke?
It's a terrible joke.
And finally, here's a request. Of course, Kevin passed away. He's no longer with us. Or he's taking vacation. One of the two. I didn't bother to read the emails. But here's I guess this guy's a big fan and had a request for us.
Hey, can you guys play that one clip of Kevin when he's trying to tell us something about some meal? And he's like, Josh, so you have some dessert. And you have some ice cream. And, you know, and you put some whipped cream on it. And your whipped cream, not the dessert. You guys got to play that clip because I laughed so hard listening to the podcast. So play it again. Bye.
We're happy to help.
If you have food and you have dinner, you have steak and you have a baked potato, and then you have dessert, you have ice cream, and then you put whipped cream on top of the ice cream. The whipped cream is dessert.
323-520-AFRO. That's the number for the Kevin and Bean Afro line. A quick break. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up next. Close our eyes for good. Sublime on the way. Also, Rise Against Foo Fighters and Muse here on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KRQ at 650. By the way, you're listening to the Kevin DeBean Show. Ralph, I'm glad you came in because Lisa's going to cry if she doesn't get her old Facebook page back.
What happened?
She's freaking.
I am not happy.
What happened?
She's throwing things at her screen.
What happened?
She's screaming.
Oh,
well,
sweetie, what happened?
It's got this, like, top news story thing that is blocking the story, and then when you click the little X, it doesn't go away.
Oh,
so how are you supposed to see the story that they think is the top news story?
I had no idea.
Asshole.
Do you have that that high-speed internet with AT&T? Do you have that? Good, because otherwise it's like having half a computer, I heard.
You don't want to have a computer.
It's like cutting your computer in half.
Exactly.
That's
Ralph,
it's
have
like.
You been
like
to your
steering.
Have you been to your Facebook page yet to see the new changes?
I have not, sir.
People are freaking out. I'd like you to go look at yours sometime if you have time in the next hour and let us know what you think, because people are freaking out.
I have not seen it yet, but this much I can guarantee you. I will not freak out. No matter what I see on my Facebook page, I will not freak out.
Freak out is a little extreme. I think highly annoyed is not
a
little extreme.
I don't get. I would be so excited. Look, when Twitter rolled out their new Twitter, I was so excited that I was able to get the new Twitter, because the reason they make a new is so that they improve the old and they add new features and they update. Otherwise, you're just MySpace and you stay the same year after year and then nobody uses you anymore. Change is good when it comes to social networking, you guys.
I don't know. Sometimes change is just for change's sake, and it can upset you because you're used to the old ways.
But I suspect you'll find some things about the new Facebook that you like, and you'll get used to it relatively quickly. That's my guess for most people.
I don't know. I think I might be upset, too. Now that I've seen how upset Lisa is, I'm upset for her and me.
Well, the general consensus from Facebook users online today seems to be make it stop. That seems to be what we're hearing from people.
I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook anymore, really.
Very rarely.
I check in. Yeah, because I get all the updates from my friends and stuff via my email.
Right.
So usually I just read those. I don't go to the page all that often.
Right.
So I don't think it will affect my life that much.
You don't understand, man. You're going to freak.
All right.
We'll see. Time for the Showbiz Beat now here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday. What's going on?
Before I get to the news of this biz we call show, I have more passes to give away because that's the only reason people listen to me. Lately, I'll tell you, all the emails, all the phone calls, they're just, hey, how about those passes? Hey, how about that movie? How about those movie passes you're giving away? How do I get those passes? Hey, how about those passes? All right, I hear you. I know. You're just using me for my passes. I'm fine with that. You want passes? Here are your passes. I've got passes to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Real Steel.
Yay!
Do you like boxing? Do you like robots? Do you like Hugh Jackman?
I like him.
Do you like Evangeline Lilly?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, then this is the movie for you, because this has all those things. Hugh Jackman plays a down-on-his-luck former boxer. Now only robots can box in the high-tech future of robot boxing world land.
What?
All the boxers sound like that. And Hugh Jackman is a manager, promoter, with his own line of robot boxers, and he keeps getting his ass kicked. But finally, he puts together a new robot boxer made out of bits and pieces with his son. They put them together and teach it how to love. And love it they do. They love their new little boxing robot pal. And he goes on to fight the good fight, because he's got heart. The robot has heart!
Damn it.
Sure.
If you'd like to see it, and why wouldn't you? Sounds awesome. Tuesday, October 4th is our very special screening. First three callers to get through at 1-800-520-1067. Get a pair of passes to our special screening of Real Steel. But if you don't win, don't dismay. Because the movie's in theaters everywhere Friday, October the 7th, so you can check it out there. It's just that simple. Congratulations to Chris Angel.
Wow, there's a name we haven't heard in a while.
Yeah. He's still in Vegas, still making buku buckage. Doing his little magic act. He is engaged to his girlfriend, Sandra Gonzalez. They got engaged in Cabo San Lucas on September the 7th, according to People magazine. The couple is ecstatic, says Chris's representative. Well, why wouldn't he be? He is 41. She is 21.
Oh, come on.
The couple met 4 years ago on the set of his A&E series, Mind Freak, where he mind freaks everybody. Let's see, she's 21 4 years ago. Let me do a little quick math here.
Oh,
Carrie, the one that would make when they met, she was 17. Mm. 17. That's what I get. That's what I'm coming up with here.
Nice.
My calculation shows 17 years old when they met. Now they're getting engaged. She looks like his daughter.
Did you bring condoms with you?
Yeah, exactly.
He gave her a 5-carat diamond and platinum ring.
Did he make it appear in her finger?
He made it appear, but not in her finger, oddly enough.
Oh, interesting.
Came out of another orifice, and she was shocked.
It?
She was shocked and surprised when she, next thing you know, plop.
Look, I don't know who the people are in 2011 who walk up and buy a ticket to see the Criss Angel stage show.
You don't get
less,
it, man.
Much less the women who go, yeah, I'm going to marry that
He's
dude.
A mind freak.
Right.
He can freak your mind. What can you do?
Will he take off the bandana when he gets married?
Nope. He has got the big giant cross hanging around his neck and the vest with no shirt and the bandana. He is
unbelievable.
He is a rock and roll magician is what he is. I just wish his dad was here to see it.
Yes. Yeah.
Dancing with the Stars debuted this week, and we have our first victim. I didn't think really anyone could be worse than Mike Catherwood on that show, but it looks like Meta World Peace.
Oh,
it was just as bad. I'll tell you, that Rob Kardashian was just as bad, too. And really, Nancy Grace was just as bad. Those were the lowest vote-getters on the premiere. And Meta World Peace, formerly known as Ron Artest, of course, from the Los Angeles Lakers. He was the first one to get the boot. So what's he going to do now? What's he going to do now?
He probably thought, hey, this is great. I've got the season off. At least I'll spend 12 weeks on Dancing with the Stars, and now he's out after week one.
Yeah. He had the Hebrew words for world peace shaved into the side of his head for the performance, you know, just to make some impact. And apparently that wasn't enough to sway the judges. And he is the first victim on the show.
And professional athletes have historically done fairly well on that show,
right? But you have to try.
You got to try.
I don't get the sense he or Rob Kardashian were trying very hard.
Right.
Jane Fonda in the news, the longtime movie legend, said that she is very close to her animals, very close to her pets, sometimes a little too close. Her dog passed away. And, you know, some people have the dog stuffed. Some people will bury their dogs in a pet cemetery.
Yeah.
Jane chose to have her beloved pet cremated, and she saved the dog's ashes so she could always have her longtime companion close to her. Sadly, Jane recently mistook them for bath crystals. Poured her late dog's ashes into her bath, climbed into the bathtub, was soaking in the bathtub until a piece of bone floated by.
No.
And
no.
That's when she realized that she had taken the urn that contained her dead pooch, Roxy, and poured it into her bath.
What? Didn't she have it in a container that was obviously an urn and not a bottle of bath salts?
And why would it be in the bathroom?
Well, here's the thing. She was on location, apparently, and someone in her family thought it would be nice to have Roxy with her. So she said, one evening I came home from work and I found an urn sitting on my hotel room table with a note, until we meet again. I thought, what could this be and who is it from? I opened the urn and it appeared to be bath salts.
Oh my God.
I ran a nice hot bath and dumped some salts into it, but a small fragment of bone fell out as well, and I realized with shock they were Roxy's ashes. I took the bath anyway.
What are you going to do?
And it felt, you know what you're going to do? Not get into the bathtub with dog ashes. That's what you're going to do.
Pet.
That's creepy on every level.
No!
And this Ryan Gosling, is anybody busier than Ryan Rye?
No, he's got a lot going on.
Than Rygo? Like Rygo, as I like to call him. Rygo is busy these days. He's in Drive with the horrible, horrible font. He's in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He is in this new Ides of March film with my man crush, George Clooney.
Sure, looks great.
Looks to be awesome. He's currently filming a new movie with Emma Stone called Gangster Squad, about the true story of the L.A. police trying to hunt down mobsters in the 1940s. I mean, he is a very busy fella. And recently he was on Conan O'Brien, and Conan talked to him about his connection to Disney. Apparently he loves Disney. He's taken several high-profile young ladies on dates to Disneyland. And he also, of course, got his big break on the new Mickey Mouse Club. That's where he started, alongside of Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera. But he talked about this on Conan, saying he has a love-hate relationship with the Disney folks. And we here at the Kevin and Bean Show believe everything that Disney does is wonderful, and we support them 100%. But Rygo may have a different opinion, because he thinks some creepy things happen in the park at night.
Disney has been breeding an army of cats. Yes. And they're not just ordinary cats. They have a special set of skills.
Uh-huh.
They're like commando cats.
Commando cats.
And they live in a barracks, a cat barracks. I don't know what you call it.
Yes, like a cat barracks. Sure. They sleep in bunk beds and
They live on the outskirts of the park, you know? Uh-huh. And at night, when they close the park under the cover of darkness, these cats ascend into the park and they eat all the mice.
Right. The thing that's so messed up about it and why I hate them is that the whole empire of Disney is built on the back of one mouse.
I didn't think of that.
Excellent point, Ryan. Excellent point.
Interesting.
Yes. They're down with the mice over there at Disney. Last week, Ryan was seen at Disneyland dating Eva Mendes. That's where he took her on their date.
Oh, nice.
He's also been seen there with Blake Lively and Kat Dennings.
Wow.
He loves him some Disney and some hot
tapes. Sure does. He sure does.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jerry Bruckheimer, legendary movie and TV producer, brought a CSI, Amazing Race, some of your favorite films, Top Gun, etc., etc. 66 years old today. Legendary horror author Stephen King is 64. Bill Murray is 61. Dave Coulier from Full House turns 52. Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm is 46. I don't like the country music. You know this. But this Faith Hill?
Yeah. Man,
that's a good deal right there.
Right. Yes.
She's 44 years old today. Ricky Lake, while we're talking about Dancing with the Stars, is 43. Luke Wilson turns 40. Liam Gallagher of Oasis and BDI is 39. Nicole Richie is 30 years old, and Maggie Grace of Lost celebrates her 28th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How did this topic come up? Was it because we were talking about the remake of Point Break last week, Ralph? Is that the topic?
Mm-hmm.
And you confessed what to the room?
I recognize wholeheartedly that Point Break is a bad movie. Bad script, bad performances, bad concept, just bad. Bad to the point of cheese and corn. And other food products. But once finding Point Break on my local or cable stations when I'm flipping around, I cannot avert my eyes. I am locked in. I will spend the rest of my remaining time watching that film to its ultimate conclusion.
Now, that's fascinating to me because when you hit the remote and the channel lands on Point Break, mm-hmm. which is probably on TNT, I would imagine. It's where it's on. It seems like it's on all the time.
Sure.
TBS, right. Isn't the thought process like this? Oh, Point Break. What a terrible movie.
Yes.
Click.
Nope. You were half right. Oh, Point Break. What a terrible movie. I have to go get some chips. That's my thought is. And then I go to the pantry and I come back and I sit down and I'm in for the remainder.
Do you think it's the time that you saw that movie that there's something about that whole experience that brings you back?
Nostalgia has a lot to do with it. But also I think it is stunning to me on so many levels to watch so many people overact so hard at the same time. It's like watching MMA or wrestling or something. We just watch the most extreme version of something. It is always fascinating to me, and that is extreme overacting in that film.
Now, but there are some movies, and usually I'm thinking of the good movies, where they're classics because they have so many great scenes. And you come across those movies and you go, oh, I'm in the middle, but that scene that I love is coming up in a minute, so I want to watch that. And then, oh, yeah, then this happens later, so I don't want to miss that. But that's usually with good movies. But it works that way with bad movies, too, it sounds like.
I think so. I think some bad movies have a certain quality that capture your attention and your imagination and your heart, even though you can fully recognize that it's bad. I'm not talking about movies that you disagree on with your friends. Say, oh, I love that movie. Oh, I hated that movie. This isn't something where you say, no, it's a good film. You recognize its badness, and yet you find it eminently watchable.
You know, Showgirls is like that. The acting
that's a classic,
is so awful, and yet it is maybe because of that, it's just spellbinding.
That is it for a lot of people. It isn't for me. I can't watch Showgirls.
I love it.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's got different films that strike that chord with them. Another one for me like that is Tango and Cash with Sylvester Stallone and Kurt Russell. I fully recognize that to be a horrible, horrible film, but I am such a sucker for that movie. I cannot wait for them to get into that giant weapons-loaded SUV, that armor-plated SUV they drive around Jack Palance's compound there. I just love that film to death, and it's just one of the most poorly written, acted action films of the 80s. It really is horrible, and yet I watch it every time I can.
We're going to take some calls from you if you have, I guess we could call it a guilty pleasure. You know it's bad, but you can't stop watching when you come across it on your TV. 1-800-520-1067. Lisa, what's, you mentioned during the song, there's another one that you can't stop watching even though you know it's horrible.
He's just not that into you.
That's a romantic comedy with who? Who's in that?
Justin Long is in it. Oh, gosh.
Drew Barrymore?
Drew Barrymore. What's the great girl from, oh, crap. The Mormon movie.
The Mormon
TV
movie.
Show. You know
Jennifer Goodwin?
Jennifer Goodwin. She's adorable.
She is. I
it's
like
not
her a
good.
Lot. I never saw it the first time, so I wouldn't be able to watch it again.
I think it's only been out like a year, maybe a little bit more. I've seen it four or five times.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Twice in the theater with two different friends.
Well, that's a vagina thing. There is a certain weakness that women have with bad romantic comedies that I will never be able to wrap my head around. Because I find those things not even bad enough to be good. Not bad enough to be interesting.
I love that movie.
My wife has watched Ghost of Girlfriend's Past like three times in the past week. And why?
My wife watches that.
I don't get it. All right, here's mine. Let me throw mine out. And again, we're going to go to your calls in a moment. Terrible movies you can't stop watching. 1-800-520-1067. I saw it in the theater, walked away very disappointed, was not a good movie. If I recall, Ralph, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, universally panned, but I watch it all the time on cable, and it is Funny People, the Adam Sandler, Seth Rogen movie.
Oh,
Funny
really?
People.
I like
when it, and part of it is the cat. I mean, part of it is I love Jason Schwartzman, and he's in it. I love Jonah Hill. I love Aubrey Plaza. I mean, there's a great cast in this movie, but you remember what a dud it was, right?
Yeah. Adam Sandler's still in it, right?
Adam Sandler is still in it, yes.
That's why I haven't seen it,
Funny People, not at all funny. There's virtually nothing funny about that movie. It's just super, like, draggy and depressing.
It's really long.
And it's really long. Yeah. That's what she said. And I don't know why it is, but every time it comes on, I go, oh, I like everybody in this movie. I'm going to watch this for a while.
Yeah.
It's just, it's weird. I can't explain it. How about you, King?
Bean, I could top you with Save the Last Dance.
Save the Last
Dance. I don't
even
know.
Was that
Julia Stiles? And
Julia Stiles, right.
Yeah. I mean, I love dance movies, but she is awful. Because
you're a star of a dance movie.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why you have experience being in
them. But she is awful in this movie, and she can't dance. But yet, I watch it every single time it's on.
What is it you think you like about it? Is it just you like to mock her because she's bad?
What captivates you so much?
I don't know. Maybe it's just the dancing that keeps me like, I'll give it a shot. And every time
you've seen it, why you give it a shot?
I think it's going to get better. Maybe every time I go, I didn't get it last time. Maybe I'll get it this time.
You think they're still working on the movie, Dave? You think they're rewriting it or they're putting it back on television?
Maybe it's because I like her a little more. I see her in Dexter. I see her in The Bourne Identity, you know.
Yeah.
I see her in all these movies and I go, well, maybe I'll give her another shot. Nope. Still sucks. Every time. And I still watch it. It gets me every time. And I might shed a tear. But,
Save the Last Dance.
Oh, he even tears up.
Oh my God, you're so 12.
That's awesome. All right. Now you know you got an idea of what we're talking about. What are your guilty pleasures you can't stop watching? 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming right up after this on the Kevin and Bean. We're talking about those bad movies that you come across on TV, yet you can't stop watching. Getting some fantastic reactions. Lisa on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page says, White Chicks. It sucks so bad. I watch it every time it's on.
No way.
Steve on Facebook also says Kindergarten Cop is his.
Wow.
Tana says Howard the Duck. Now, what channel is still airing Howard the Duck?
Oh, it's quite a bit on HBO and HBO Family and those kind of things. Yeah, that is remarkably bad.
And before we go to your calls at 1-800-520-1067, I need a ruling from you, Ralph, because part of what's happening is that people are calling up with good movies that they watch over and over again. That's not what we're looking for at all, right?
If you say Pee-wee's Big Adventure, that doesn't count because that's actually a good movie.
So when Gerson writes in and says Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze, I say shame on you, sir. Roadhouse is awesome.
Oh, it's all awesomely bad. He might have a point there. That is a classic bad movie that I, too, will watch over and over and over again.
All right. Let's go to line one, please. Yeah, Eric joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Eric, we don't have much time, but what's the movie you can't turn off no matter how bad it is?
Battlefield Earth.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow. I don't know anyone who's ever sat through it once.
The best bad movie ever.
How can you get through that?
I don't know. It's just something about, being taken over and then trying to fight back, but it's done in such an awful way.
Is it Travolta's dreadlocks? Is that what really captures your attention?
The dreadlocks, yeah. It was my thing for a while.
Oh, that's hilarious. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Matt on line three. Interesting choice. Hi, Matt. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you think?
Good morning, guys. Number one, got to be your man Kevin Bacon in Tremors.
Tremors. That is a great bad film. I haven't seen that in a long time, but if I ran across it, I too would watch it, Matt.
Yeah, how many times do you think you've seen it, Matt?
I couldn't even count. It doesn't matter what number it is. They're all bad.
Exactly. Thank you for the call. Let's try Tyler, line four. Hey, Tyler, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your movie?
Hey, guys. It would have to be Surf Ninjas.
Oh, sweet Lord.
Who was in that?
Rob Schneider is like the only person in that other than Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, it's Rob Schneider and a bunch of kids, and they're all just, surf ninjas.
Ernie Reyes Jr.
That's
come on.
Right, yeah.
Crazy. Thank you. Got another Eric, this time on line five, joining us. Hi, Eric. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Eric, what's your movie?
It's Going the Distance with Justin Long and Drew Barrymore again, a good Lisa May movie.
Oh, I do like that movie. Oh, it's a long-distance romance. Oh, I actually really like that movie.
It's so sappy towards the end, but the beginning's hilarious. It's got Charlie Day in it. How can it go wrong?
Nope. Denied.
Thank you for the call. Damien is on line six. Damien, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your guilty pleasure movie?
I gotta go with Bloodsport.
Yeah, that is horrible.
Now, who's in Bloodsport?
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, that's right.
JCVD.
That's right.
Yeah, that was his big hit maker. That was. Yeah, that's horrific. Yeah.
Good choice. Thank you for the call. Sean is up next. He's line seven. Sean, thanks for calling, man. What's your bad movie?
Deep Blue Sea.
Is that Kate Bosworth?
I don't know. That's all I remember is LL Cool J and Samuel L. Jackson.
Deep Blue Sea. What's the premise, real quick?
That's the shark movie. It's an underground facility where they're trying to find a cure for, I forget what the disease was, and they're injecting things into the brains of sharks.
Okay. That's not what I'm thinking of. That sounds awesome, though.
Killing everybody.
I love it.
I think that's a rental. I think I need to call Quickster and get that one delivered to my doorstep.
I'm going to have to find that.
Thank you for the call. Hey, real quick, a couple more from email. Kevin writes in, Flash Gordon, the guy that plays Flash, maybe the worst actor ever. I cannot stop watching when it's on, and I can't get that damn Queen song out of my head.
Flash!
Daniel writes in, a cheesy movie that I watch every time it comes on is Land of the Lost, starring Will Ferrell. I've seen it 22 times.
No. Wow.
I still watch it when it comes on. I even watched it twice in one day. Alma says, G.I. Jane by Demi Moore.
No, no, no.
No, meaning it's so bad you can't watch it once? Is that what you're saying?
No.
All right. Great calls. Wish we had time for more, but thank you very much. Adam Carolla's got This Week in Rage next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Way to be. Brianna Colon from Long Beach just won tickets for this weekend's Epicenter. Tickets in the pit, by the way, to Epicenter 2011 at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater on Saturday. Tickets available now. Get details at krock.com. It is 7:37. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Got a brand new internet roundup and Charlie Hunnan from the Sons of Anarchy joining us next hour as well. First, though, the Ace Man on the phone, ladies and gentlemen, the great Adam Carolla from AdamCarolla.com. You can see him weekly at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater and all over the country, including dates coming up in Atlanta, Tampa, and then back here in Anaheim for the holidays. How are you, Ace Man?
Yeah, get it on.
Get it on indeed. Adam joins us every week for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Starting at three and working my way down to number one. First, number three, more of a commentary than a week in rage. Did a lot of traveling yesterday, going through the airport. Remember the velvet rope with the big brass fittings and the stanchions at the end and all that? Been replaced by that weird black nylon zip, retractable zip thing that's going on now.
Right.
That velvet rope has been around unmolested and unchanged since, like, Old West days. Like, that would be what would be in front of the stage when guys were firing their guns up into the sky, having a good time. And by the way, did they really do that at Old West shows? Like, hey, man, this is a great show. I'm going to fire my six-shooter into the sky.
I think they used to do that a lot until too many bullets came down and killed them and their families.
They were indoors in every movie I've seen. They were in a balloon, in a hall. There had to be. The whorehouse was always upstairs. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Imagine you paid good money for a hand job, and there's bullets flying through the floor, you know? I just feel like if I owned the saloon, I'd put an end to that really quickly.
I agree.
Like, fire down into the ground or, I got an idea. I've invented something called clapping. Let's do that. And by the way, then next time when the Dalton boys come into town, we all won't be out of ammunition.
That's a great point.
Remember that last year? We'd all been celebrating so much and nothing had anything in the chamber. But the velvet rope has been around for like 150 years, and it got replaced in the last 14 months by that retractable belt thing. I don't like it, but you had to know if you work for the velvet rope company the second somebody brought one of those lines in that went back in like a seatbelt, someone had to go, well, this is it. Yeah. We're going to be out of business faster than the AIDS diet candy company was in 1991.
Right, exactly.
Also, if you're going to do that thing and you're going to do that black nylon thing, I mean, it's fun watching elderly people get tangled up into it at the airport. Why not make that red? You know what I mean? Or yellow?
A little easier to spot for the old people, sure.
Do like a police tape thing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It does seem overly complicated for old people.
Well, you don't make traffic cones flat black, do you?
No,
and you don't
not.
Make police tape black or charcoal color, do you? Why are you making those things black? I feel like from a distance, they just get mowed down all the time by people in the, driving those three-wheel larks. All right, anyway, enough about the velvet rope. Let's get into my kids. I went to their thing on Sunday. You know, they had that. They got to meet the kids. They got to meet the other kids. Yeah, I don't know if you know what's going on, Bean, because I know you just have, you know, menagerie running around your house. You don't have any schooling to do. But somehow there's this thing where the kids go to school during the week, and then on the weekends, they have to spend time with each other again, getting to know each other. Didn't you feel like the 9 hours a day we spent together 5 days a week when we were going to school was enough time to get to know our classmates?
Yeah, I think you're fine to say goodbye to most of those kids except your very best friends. Hey, see you Monday.
See you Monday. That was. By the way, I missed that. I missed that thing where you could look across at teachers you hated and students you didn't like and go, see you Monday, which seemed like an eternity. It's a time. I mean, I always figured a meteor would hit sometime between then and Monday. But now it's, oh, we got things planned for the weekend. So Sunday, I had to drag them to the park so I could meet everyone else and meet the teachers who weren't there and meet the kids and meet the kids' parents. You got to meet the kids' parents. And as I walked up, seconds after I was accosted to host a fundraiser, the next thing I saw was two dudes doing kids' yoga. There were 7 5-year-olds spread out on these towels, and there were two dudes, sexuality suspect, doing the yoga thing and the down dog position. And I thought, really, yoga? And the kids are in kindergarten. So
right.
Stress relief. Toning up, want to get your flexibility back, like really, or maybe just want to get your head right, like, you know, maybe you had a super bad session of Angry Birds and you just need to go to a more peaceful place. Like, kids are supposed to be chucking dirt clods at each other and kicking each other in the groin.
Yeah, you shouldn't need that much resetting at age 5. That's an excellent point, Ace.
Yoga for 5-year-olds. And first off, when Woody Allen makes movies where he makes fun of California, he can't think of this crap.
Right. Exactly.
Number one. It's and number bizarre. Two, this is what everyone who lives in Arkansas and Iowa and Nebraska, this is what they picture us doing. There's 18 football games going on TV right now. We're out in the park with a couple fairies doing yoga. Awesome.
Great point. Hey, Adam, I know you got to go. I know you're out of time. AdamCarolla.com is the website, the fine family of podcasts and live events. And don't miss the Ace Man on the car show tonight at 10 on the Speed Channel. Ace, have a great week, man. We'll talk to you next time.
Love you, Bean. Love you, Tammy.
Come on. Who's better than Muse?
Right?
I am. Right, maybe you. Yeah. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KRQ at 7:52. Chili Peppers, Cage the Elephant, and yes, Modest Yahoo coming up next hour. Plus, we've got a brand new Kevin and Bean internet roundup after the top of the hour. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, it is premiere week this week. Want to give you a heads up of new shows you may want to check out and the return to some of your favorites. Revenge on ABC is a brand new show. It takes place in the Hamptons, the Tony section of New York known as the Hamptons. Criminal Minds is back. CSI returns tonight with a brand new lead. Ted Danson takes over the team on CBS. Modern Family has a brand new episode tonight, an hour-long premiere for their new season, The Middle, which has that broad from Everybody Loves Raymond in it, Patricia Heaton, and Ray Romano guest stars tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, how about that?
They're back together again if you want to see
and the
those
janitor
guys.
From Scrubs is in that. That's actually right. A pretty good show.
Yeah. Harry's Law on NBC, along with Law & Order Special Victims Unit returning, and The X Factor debuts tonight.
There it is.
See Simon Cowell once again make fun of people who sing poorly with Paula Abdul by his side. So it'll feel like home for the first time.
Jay Leno asked Simon Cowell this week on The Tonight Show, you say that The X Factor is better than American Idol. Why? And Simon Cowell with a straight face says, because I'm on it.
Giggity.
That's Simon Cowell for you.
Yep.
Glee made its season debut last night. They swear they're returning to the things that made the show popular in the first season, which is grounded stories and in relationships with the people there in the high school. Less co-stars, less special episodes where an entire artist's musical catalog is explored. Just good old-fashioned Glee. I didn't say it last night, but I don't know how they did fulfilling that promise or not. However, I thought it was interesting that today they announced They are building a special show around Anne Hathaway.
Excellent.
So apparently they're not doing anything special for the first half of the season, but Ryan Murphy, co-creator of the show, said, we're going to work with her. We're getting the whole thing mapped out. I love her. I think she's great. So Anne Hathaway will be getting at least one episode to guest star in and
I can think of few shows that had more of a drop-off in quality from season one to season two than Glee.
I agree. Lea Michele from Glee, by the way, has called it quits with her boyfriend, Broadway star Theo Stockman. They're going their separate ways. Us Weekly reports that dating long distance, her in L.A., him in New York, was just too tough. So she's available, Omar, if you're interested. Lea Michele,
think
just
he's
saying.
Shaking you off in the
other
room.
Yeah, you want yourself a little Lea Michele. Yeah, but that's not, but her nose is not that big. I love watchdogs who tell us what to think, like the American Family Association. I love them.
Mm.
I love ultra-religious, right-wing, moralistic groups who tell people what to do. It never ceases to entertain me. The American Family Association and one of their affiliates called 1 Million Moms is calling for a boycott of Ben & Jerry's because of the company's new flavor, Sweaty Balls. Sweaty Balls, as you may remember, is the legendary Saturday Night Live sketch with Alec Baldwin, where he talks about the fact that he's a chef and he's prepared special tasty treats for the holidays. He makes these little popcorn balls and rum balls and cheese balls. And his name is Pete Sweaty, and so he calls them the Sweaty Balls.
Okay, so their complaint basically is the whole reason they call them Sweaty Balls on Saturday Night Live is because it's funny because it sounds like sweaty. But
yes!
It's just ice cream, right?
The Ben & Jerry's flavor has no actual balls in it, to the best of my knowledge.
And
yes,
no sweat either.
Correct.
It's
and no
just,
sweat.
It's just ice cream with a funny name.
It's
now,
offensive, Bean.
I hope they tell her to...
It is offensive. They have sent a strongly worded letter to Ben & Jerry's demanding that no additional Sweaty Balls ice cream be distributed. You must refrain from producing even another batch with this name or any other offensive names, or we will no longer be able to purchase your products.
What is likely to happen to a consumer that walks into a supermarket and is confronted face on with Sweaty Balls in his freezer? What's going to happen to that poor guy who sees that and he doesn't know it's coming?
Hell.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the thing. This isn't the first time the AFA has gone off on Ben & Jerry, because you may remember that they, for a short time, changed the name of their Chubby Hubby ice cream to Hubby Hubby last year to celebrate gay marriage.
Oh, and right, because Vermont started gay marriage.
That
where they're at, right.
Did not go over well
it
with
ain't
the AFA.
Natural! Look, I think they're retarded to protest gay marriage at this point, but at least I understand where that's coming from. I don't even see what ridiculous made-up problem is going to result from something called Sweaty Balls being sold as ice cream.
Well, Bean, the group says offending customers has apparently become an annual tradition for Ben & Jerry's. They are offended, and they want them to no longer manufacture or distribute the perverted ice cream known as Sweaty Balls.
Okay. Well, they need to. I guess they get to decide what's funny and what's not funny. Then I guess that's the role they've taken on.
They're not going to like my new ice cream called Teabag. Then when I stop by their offices and give them a taste of Teabag. God damn these people,
Ralph! I know you saw the email.
This is why they won't sell me a gun. This is why they won't sell me a gun.
You saw the email on this at a related topic from our listener in Butte, Montana. Please tell me you saw that.
I did see it. Yeah.
Their ABC affiliate there, kids, blacked out the pre-First Dance introduction of Chaz Bono on Dancing with the Stars
this week.
Just blacked it out. Just took that part out in case, God forbid, they should come on the show and go, here's Chaz Bono dancing tonight as a man, although he was born a girl.
I can't hear you.
Now let's move on with the show. They took that out of the hands of people who wanted to choose whether to watch it or not, and said nobody gets to watch it. We're preempting that from our local affiliate.
Look, I for one am glad that Butte, Montana is safe.
Because who knows what would happen if somebody had seen
that.
Oh
my God.
70% of the population was having sex with a cow anyway, so I don't think they're in danger of watching that show. Oh, sweet, sweet heaven. You know, Carlin was right. We're just circling the drain.
Seriously?
All you can do now is just sit back and watch. There's really no point. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jerry Bruckheimer, legendary movie and TV producer, is 66 years old today. Stephen King, talented and fast author. Stephen King. He can write a book on the John.
He can write a book faster than I can read one, I'll tell you that.
64 years old today. Bill Murray is 61. Dave Coulier of Full House fame is 52. David James Elliott. Remember Jag? Jag?
Yeah.
He's 51. Cheryl Hines is 46. Faith Hill turns 44 years old today. Ricky Lake is 43. Alfonso Ribeiro from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. 40 years old today. Liam Gallagher from Oasis and BDI is 39. Nicole Richie of The Simple Life is 30. And Maggie Grace, we loved her on Lost, 28 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We were talking earlier about Point Break being remade. Maybe they'll have Anthony Kiedis come back and reprise his role from the original Point Break movie. Didn't even think about that.
Nope.
Red Hot Chili Peppers on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It is 8:08. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show. How about a brand new internet roundup for you?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt in, drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's internet roundup.
I know that I'm alone on this, but I still vote for a new theme song. I can't.
No, it's the
best. Really, really?
I was dancing to it.
The Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup is really one-stop shopping for all the best viral videos going around the internet. We put one up every week for you, and usually, just like today, somewhere between 15 and 20 new videos. We don't have time to play audio from them all on the air, but they're all worth checking out. Really, if you have an extra moment at work, give yourself a little bit of time at kevinandbean.com or krock.com and check out the Internet Roundup. One that we don't have audio for, but is awesome, and I don't know how people have the time to invest so much into making little YouTube videos, but there's a guy who has gone through hundreds of movies, Lisa May, mm-hmm. and put Tom Selleck's mustache on all of the lead characters in them.
Through now, the whole movie?
No, just a clip of the film. So you'll see a clip of, say, Keanu Reeves in The Matrix, but there he is with Tom Selleck's mustache. And then it'll cut to a clip of all the guys in Ghostbusters with Tom Selleck's mustache.
That's
and then
awesome.
Russell Crowe in Gladiator. Like, I don't understand why somebody would think of that and why somebody would spend all the time to do that. But it's just, it's remarkable. And it must have taken hundreds of hours, so at least it's worth a couple of minutes of your time to check it out. Moving on to the ones that we do have great audio for you for. I don't know when it became hip and cool to be on food stamps. It seems to me there was a time in this country where that's not something you bragged about. But apparently you get the EBT card now in places like the state of California where you go out and buy anything you want and you're eating pretty good on the EBT card led this young man to do a rap song about it.
He asking for my pen, 1778. I'm punching in. I'm eating good.
Good?
Potato chips.
Chips?
My EBT.
What?
Man, I love it, man. EBT, EBT. I just swipe my EBT. My EBT, my EBT.
You're rolling pretty deep there with your food stamps. We had a scandal where I live in Washington this year with somebody who was using his EBT card at a strip club. He was taking it and just blowing it all at a strip club. So they had to change the rules so they no longer were accepted there. So
jeez.
Maybe not the intention of the program. Here's a great collection of the worst national anthem performances ever. And they go all the way from, minor league baseball games, say, all the way up to the professional ones. You know, we've seen the fails like Christina Aguilera at the Super Bowl. You remember Carl Lewis did that horrible one. Roseanne had a horrible one. But this is all the worst national anthems ever cut together in one tidy package for you.
And the rocket red glare.
Yeah, it's painful. It's a hard song for a good singer to sing. One of the most hilarious videos of the past week on the Internet Roundup is Webcam 101 for Seniors. This is a couple of old married people who look like they've got to be in their 70s at least, and they're trying to figure out how to configure their new computer. They're trying to figure out how to take a photo, and they don't realize that they're shooting video the entire time, and they're very funny together.
Did it capture? Why did it? It didn't say, I put it on capture.
That's a pretty good monkey.
Okay, wait a minute.
I don't think
right,
you
here,
can.
Now, do it again. What does it say here? Take a photo snapshot. Okay.
It just goes on like that. Two things when you go and check out this video. One, what is the old lady chewing? She's got a cud. I swear to God. She's not eating anything, but she's constantly chewing. And secondly, don't miss the part of the video where the old guy starts to get frisky with her and asks her to show her boobs.
I think you're
going to love that part so much. Next up on the Internet Roundup, here's a guy who's considered the best eyewitness ever. You know how the news will talk to somebody who witnesses, in this case, a traffic accident? And usually they're pretty boring. Yeah. This guy brings it to life.
The wires come down, boom, and then arc, bam, that fire was coming everywhere. It was arcing, sparking, blowing up, boom, and it was coming up, boom, boom, everybody was like, shoot!
Whoa.
And he just goes on and on, acts the whole thing out with sound effects and everything. He's great. Thug Fail is up next in the Internet Roundup. This is a guy who's making a video basically to intimidate some people. I guess he thinks he's tough, and he thinks he's going to intimidate these guys by showing how tough he is, and he's waving guns around and everything like that. Well, he kind of loses his cool when the gun he's waving accidentally goes off while he's making the video.
My wraps are tighter than yours. My muscles are bigger. You ain't got no chains. You ain't got no white feeders, no guns, no hair gel. You ain't nothing. I'll come up there, flash my guns around a little bit. I'll go, ooh, dude, my mom's going to kill me.
He's so talking tough, and then my mom's going to kill me when the gun goes off into the ceiling. Remember those guys we had on a few weeks ago from that Commercial Kings show on IFC? Remember them, Lisa? These are the guys that go into small town businesses, and they make these commercials that are hilarious. They're so, so good. And you've rarely seen one as entertaining as this. This is in Ojai, California. This is a guy who runs a taxidermy business, and he's talking about how lifelike the animals that he stuffs are.
You probably thought this deer was alive. And this coyote was alive. And this pheasant was alive. Nope. They're dead. They've been taxidermized by Chuck Testa. I specialize in the most lifelike dead animals anywhere. Period.
It's a fantastic commercial. You're going to want to get something stuffed when you see it. Our friends over at Funny or Die continue to turn out great stuff. This one features the NBA Rookie of the Year, Blake Griffin of the Clippers. Of course, he's got nothing to do with the season not happening so far, so he decides he's going to become an intern. And they just treat him terrible. They make him do the worst jobs. They make him clean the kitchen and the toilets and run for food and all this stuff. And he just takes it and takes it and takes it until he can't take it anymore. And he goes to Will Ferrell, who owns and runs Funny or Die, and basically says, I've had enough.
My time at Funny or Die has been really, really I thought it was going to be good, but it's been and you are kind of the ringleader of it all, so Will Ferrell.
And Blake Griffin, by the way, very impressive in this. Very funny guy. Good little actor. So you definitely want to check that out. Conan O'Brien had Nicole Scherzinger from the Pussycat Dolls on the show this week. Of course, she's one of the judges on the X Factor premiering tonight. And he couldn't help it based on – you got to see this video to see what Nicole is wearing. Conan could not stop staring at her boobs during the interview. I've been there. And the worst thing that happens is when you get caught.
They asked me to be a guest judge. Focus, Conan, to be
– Don't look at these! Good God! No, finally, we'll be real here for a second.
Speaking of...
You didn't think I was going to look down there?
I think...
That's awesome.
She is just spilling out of this top, and he can't help himself, and she's like, focus, eyes up here.
That's unfair.
Very funny. You got to check it out. And finally, we like to end all of our Internet Roundups with our good friend Jimmy Kimmel on Jimmy Kimmel Live. He puts beeps in where they aren't necessary to make the news sound dirtier than it is. It's This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
The last thing they should have to do is to f*** for a job when they come home.
And at 4% unemployment, you have such a huge increase in f***ing that you change every single out-year projection.
Among the claims by author Joe McGinnis that Palin s***.
We're not s***ing like we used to s***. We need to s*** again. And I'm here to tell you, Sahar, when we start s***ing again, it's going to help the women of Afghanistan.
You can see all of these videos plus every video we've ever put in the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. It's available for you now at KevinandBean.com.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Not a lot of people left around.
I feel a lack of commitment to the end of that song from Cage the Elephant. I'm sorry. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:24.
Right into this worm.
There it is.
All alone.
There it is, that unmistakable theme song from the Sons of Anarchy, Tuesday nights at 10. Don't you know, Lisa, it's the biggest hit in the history of FX, Sons of Anarchy is.
Wow.
Charlie Hunnan, one of the stars of the show, joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Charlie, so great to have you. And you're another one of these unbelievably good-looking, talented, successful actors who comes in, and I realize you're not even American. You're another one of these foreigners who comes over here and steals our jobs, does a perfect American accent, and people don't even know you're actually a freaking limey.
Yep, guilty as charged. Sorry.
He's stealing your women, too, Bean.
I'm sure he is. Tell you, look, I guarantee Mrs. Bean would drop me in a second for a shot at Charlie. How'd you? I have so many questions about the show, which I love, but let's start with you, Charlie, the man. How did you make your way all the way from London to Hollywood to be a big-time television star? How did it happen?
I got very lucky. I was just living in England, obviously, going to college, studying the theory and history of film, because I thought that I was going to be a writer-director. And all of a sudden, I got an opportunity to audition for an acting job, and got the job. Did a reasonably good job, not a great job, but a reasonably good job for my first attempt. It was a miniseries called Queer as Folk.
Oh yeah,
Of course,
which was a huge, huge hit in England. It was one of the biggest shows that Channel 4 had ever had. And it basically was just kind of a drama about four gay men who happened to be gay, and it wasn't really about the fact that they were gay, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was funny at the time in England. The legal age of consent for heterosexuals was 16, for homosexuals it was 18. So it was still, you know, even 10 years ago, kind of a rather taboo subject to be bringing.
Isn't that
to the
interesting?
Main.
Now, was the purpose of that law, Charlie, because they thought, all right, you're about to have sex with another dude, you got to think about this for a couple more years, don't rush into this. I mean, was that what they were thinking when they made that rule?
I guess so. I don't really know the origin of the law, but it certainly by the time 2000 rolled around, it seemed like it was definitely time for a change.
A little antiquated, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So when you went out for this audition, this is fascinating to me. And there are a lot of actors who kind of fall into it. They don't grow up thinking, hey, I want to be an actor. Like in your case, you were into writing and directing, right? Did you say, hey, I'll go ahead and try out for this because it'll give me some more insight into actors? When I get to the point where I'm writing and directing, I'll know more about what it's like?
Well, that was exactly the case when I was at college. I took a side course in performing arts because I wanted to understand the process of acting a little bit more to facilitate, you know, my directing in later life. And then when I got this opportunity, I thought, you know, I'll probably learn so much more actually on a set than I will in college, even if it's not exactly the avenue that I was, intending to pursue. And that's proven to be the case. Just being on set and watching the way the directors work and the whole production comes together.
So did you drop out of school?
I dropped out of school and moved to Los Angeles.
Your parents were like, yay!
Yeah, no, they were delighted.
No, it's always, anytime your kid drops out of school to go into the entertainment industry, your parents know it's a home run. No, there's no way that could fail, son. Good luck with that.
Right, sure.
So even though you were on this very successful show in Britain, you still wanted to come to America and tackle Hollywood, even though there's probably plenty of work in England, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a different industry. It's much, much smaller, and there's a lot of really good quality stuff comes out of England. But I, as a kid, had just always looked to American film and had always dreamed about a career here. So when the opportunity to come and try my luck and, you know, seek my fortune came, I didn't hesitate for a second. So
well,
I've been out here now for 11 and a half years.
Wow, how about that? Now, the first time I became aware of you by name was on Sons of Anarchy, but I bet if I went back and saw Cold Mountain again, which I remember seeing in the theaters and loved that movie, I'd recognize you now because of it. Children of Men is another movie I loved. You were in that one. So you've had a pretty good track record of being able to pick good projects, too, it seems like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was always, quality over quantity was always what was important to me. So I've had a couple of nice turns over the years. There were some giant periods of unemployment in between those films, but I was pretty proud of the films that I've done so far. And I feel like, I think at the beginning of someone's career as an actor's career, but in any field, I think really establishing oneself with integrity and building a foundation that'll last is what's most important.
Have to do anything during those periods of unemployment to make ends meet?
You know,
able to tide yourself over?
For the most part, I was able to tide myself over. I didn't do anything in the acting field.
You could have done a Bounty commercial if you wanted, but decided no.
Exactly. You know, I was actually offered a couple things, and, when I was absolutely brassic broke, you know, for good money, and actually accepted one of them on a Friday afternoon and spent all weekend, and it was for a lot of money, and it was the time that I thought, you know, I was going to have to sell my house. Things were going really, really poorly. But I just felt fundamentally it was going to change the way I felt about myself as an artist, you know?
Porn was not for you.
Porn was not for me, so...
Beerbug, I know you're disappointed.
Yeah,
I put my team in a great position of accepting the job, and they started negotiating, and then a Monday morning pulled out. So there was a little bit of, you know, collateral damage was done, but...
Yeah.
When you showed up, I'm getting ahead of myself. Maybe you didn't show up for an audition. Maybe they called you. But how did Sons of Anarchy happen for you? And did you know instantly this is a great role?
Yes, I knew right away. I mean, I'd been reading pretty much just exclusively films. I hadn't really been thinking about TV. And it was, you know, again, after a pretty long period of unemployment. And then this came, you know, across my desk. And I just thought the originality of the idea and the story that Kurt was trying to tell was so much more unique and colorful and vivid than most of the film work that I was, you know, looking at. So I just jumped at the chance.
And you bring up such a great point, and I've said this before on our show. For all the complaining that people do about how much bad television there is, and because we have so many channels, there's plenty of bad TV on. I really do think we're in some sort of a golden age right now when you look particularly on the cable channels like FX and the pay channels, you know, like HBO and Showtime. When you look at the Breaking Bads and you look at the Dexters and you look at the Sons of Anarchy and these kind of shows, these are the kind of things that would have been made into movies a few years ago. But I think artistically people are going, hey, there's a way to even do it better than a movie, and that's to be able to carry it out over many, many hours and possibly over many, many seasons. And it's so rewarding for the viewer to have this many great choices right now.
Yeah, it really is an exciting time for television, and the kind of taboo of television has really, I think, dissipated over the last few years. It's okay to work in TV and film, whereas, you know, a few years ago the division was much more exaggerated.
Yeah, it was a step down, but now you see people like Glenn Close who are doing great work.
Kate Winslet, all of them. I mean, they go to where the work is. Now, we need to take a quick break. Charlie Hunnam is here from Sons of Anarchy, and I'm so excited to talk about the show. I was one of the people who was very late to the party on this, like with so many, you know, there's so many, you only have so many hours a day, you can't watch them all. And people say, oh, you got to check out the show. When I finally did, though, I was so mad at myself for not being on board from the beginning. For people who think I'm not interested in that show because it's a biker show, you're making the same mistake people did by saying, I don't want to watch Friday Night Lights because it's a football show.
Yeah.
It's not about being a biker. It's about these characters and the situations that they get in and the interactions that they have and their family and their lives and their choices and their futures. And it's so brilliantly done. And what a great cast you have there. And we'll talk all about Sons of Anarchy. It's FX Tuesday nights at 10. Our guest is Charlie Hunnam when we return on The Kevin and Bean Show. Shalom. 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q, 842. Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins from Hope. Oh, my God, I'm sitting here dying at work. I love Charlie Hunnam so much. He's so hot. I'm such a big fan of Sons of Anarchy. It is awesome, kick-ass show. I just want to say he rocks, and I love him. You are amazing, Charlie. So see one fan letter, Charlie. Come on. That's got to make you feel good.
It makes me feel great.
Sons of Anarchy airs Tuesday nights at 10 on FX. And I mentioned before the break, people may see the commercials for this and say, hey, it's a biker movie. I don't care. Tell folks what your takeaway is on the Sons of Anarchy family now that you're into your fourth season on the show. What's the show about to you, Charlie?
It's much more of a family drama, really, than anything else. You know, it's kind of, by design, I think that the Sopranos, when it went off the air, left a really big gap in the market. And I think that that's really where a lot of our successes come, as we just swooped in and filled up that gap, you know? And just as, you know, The Sopranos is set in the world of mafia. It's really not as much about the mob as it is a family drama.
True.
It's about Tony Soprano and his wife and him going to this therapist and talking through his problems. And I think what's great about exploring a world through that dynamic is that, you know, you see these guys that ultimately, you know, on the face value, have such different lives from you and I. But then when you get into it, they're going through the same struggles that we all are. And, you know, I think it's really relatable, you know, a lot of what these guys go through.
How foreign was the life of a California motorcycle club to a kid from England?
It was pretty far, and I didn't have very much contact with this world at all and knew nothing about it, which I think is what's, you know, what's kind of so great about going in and exploring this world is I think that that's the situation that most people are in. I mean, it's not a world that's been really explored very much in film or TV.
Yeah, so I mean, we grew up here in That's all pretty new to me, too.
Yeah, and it's, yeah. And by nature of the world, it's so secretive that unless you get invited in by a TV show or something, it's not right. something ordinarily in our everyday lives that we'd be, you know, accepted or let into to explore.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Charlie, because the motorcycle gangs that you usually see in TV and movies are a cameo, basically, or it's a peripheral plot point.
Right.
And it doesn't go very deep into it. Yeah, it's usually just the bad guys. And it's fascinating. And this is The Sopranos is a great comparison. For the many of the reasons that you mentioned. But it's also because you find yourself rooting for people who are bad guys in some cases. And you also find yourself rooting for people who are in the motorcycle club who are good guys. And you're hoping, like your character, for instance, and I'm not trying to spoil anything for folks who aren't watching, your character has made the decision that it's time to get out, that this is not the life that he wants to continue to do forever. And he wants to make his money and move out with his hot wife slash girlfriend and go off and do something else.
Right.
And it's not that easy to get out of a life like this. I mean, it is something when you're in for the most, it's like being in a gang. It's hard to get out.
Right. Especially with the character that I play of Jax Teller, who was born into the club, and this is the only thing he's ever known. So it's not just leaving, you know, the patch or the club. I mean, it's leaving his family and all the friends that he's ever
right.
known, you know? I mean, I think the thing is that what these clubs do is create a family for a lot of people sometimes that don't necessarily have families, you know. A lot of these guys that, you know, that I've met that are part of these clubs really consider the club itself to be their main family group.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, is what kind of reaction do you get from people who are really, you know, in the, you know, the Hells Angels or the Mongols or somebody like that? I mean, do they think it's realistic? Do they think your characterization is fair?
Yeah, I mean, I think the response that I've had from the contact that I've had with the real guys has been overwhelmingly positive. I mean, they get that it's larger than life and, you know, it's not a true reflection of the reality of the day-to-day life of these clubs. It's obviously it's made for TV and, you know, what happens over the course of a week is probably, you know, as much action as one of these guys will see over the lifetime of being a member of a club. But, you know, I think that we ground it in enough reality that, you know, that I think that, you know, they buy it.
How'd the leather agree with you, Charlie, when you started to have to wear it all the time?
It's hot, man. It's hot. We're running around, you know, in 100, 105 degree temperatures in like the black hoodie and the leather jacket and the black hat. So it gets a little hot.
How did you do learning to ride a motorcycle and how comfortable are you with it now?
I love it. You know, it was such an epiphany. The one thing that I don't like about living in Los Angeles, well, actually there are many things I don't like about living in Los Angeles, but top of that list is transportation and just trying to get around this damn city. But you know, I just the first time I got on the bike on set and we were actually riding around the streets and getting around so quickly, it was like a major epiphany to me, and I went out and got a bike and I've been riding every day since. So
Are you one of those guys who's weaving between all of the cars on the 405 and the 101 when they're almost stopped?
Yep, that's me. And I actually, on my way here this morning, performed one of the most dangerous moves that you can perform on a bike in Los Angeles. I actually rode between two Priuses.
Check you out.
Which is a very dangerous thing to do, because in my experience, Prius drivers are not the best drivers on the road.
I drive a Prius.
I'm sorry about that. But I really have noticed.
We're just very quiet is what we are. You don't see us coming.
I've been curious if there are a lot of blind spots in a Prius or if there's something about the experience of driving a Prius that seems to get people to induce people to forget they're actually on
the
road.
Well, it's a very calming car.
Maybe
I
that's
find
the
it
case.
To be a very zen vehicle, so right. that might be it. We kind of just check out.
Right.
And they hate you on your motorcycle, and people like you, too.
Right.
All right. We're in our remaining moments, and this is killing me that we're having so little time with you, Charlie, because I'm such a fan of Sons of Anarchy, but I have to ask you a couple just quick rapid-fire questions. First of all, thank God for Katie Sagal getting a role like this to come back to television with. I know she was on Lost and she's been on a bunch of other things since Married with Children, but this role is, this is the one she's going to be remembered for way beyond Peg Bundy. Isn't she brilliant on this show?
She's fantastic. And I think that nobody had, you know, a great enough appreciation of her ability as a dramatic actor. So this has really been a great opportunity for her to show her chops.
And do I have it right? Is the creator of the show, Mr. Sutter, is he married to Katie Sagal?
Yeah, and I think a lot of what the show was about and the kind of the genesis of this idea was him trying to figure out a show that he could write for his wife. I mean, I'm the guy on the poster, but I think in a lot of ways, Katie's the real star of the show.
She's the heart
and soul of the show, and really the kind of the dangerous force behind the Sons of Anarchy. You know,
Ron Perlman is great in everything. He's a major figure on the show. He's kind of the leader of the gang. The beautiful Maggie Siff is your squeeze, and she's awesome. We fell in love with her from Mad Men last season. We heard reports that David Hasselhoff was going to be making an appearance on Sons of Anarchy. Was there any truth to that?
Yes, he comes on and plays appropriately a kind of an aging porn star who's famous for having some pretty impressive tackles. So
a huge talent,
exactly.
Great.
You probably can't answer this honestly. Maybe I should ask you off the air. But how is the Hoff as an actor?
He's great.
Say no more. Sons of Anarchy airs Tuesday nights at 10 on FX, and I think you can go to the FX website. It's still early in this current season number 4. You can see complete episodes if you want to get caught up to where the guys are. It's a great place to jump in on the show because your guys are back in charming California. You're out of jail. You're kind of involved in some stuff with the mob, with the Russians. It's so well done on every level. I can't tell you how much we enjoyed it. It airs Tuesday nights at 10 on FX. It's so great to finally meet you, Charlie, man. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
When you purchase 4 eligible Dueler tires for your truck or SUV, call 1-800-LOCATE-US for stores near you. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. I could listen to Lisa May talk about tires all day. Mm-hmm. How about you, Ralph?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Good stuff.
Duelers. Ooh.
All right. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday Kevin Amin Show. We're joined by our friend Ralph Garman.
You know, all morning long, I peruse the entertainment news websites, pulling the latest stories, and this one just caught my eye because I cannot believe that anyone would post this story. And the headline was the first headline on this one site. It says, Ashley Simpson getting serious with new boyfriend. Ashley Simpson, does she really qualify as a celebrity anymore? Really? She proved she couldn't sing, and then her stint on the rebooted Melrose Place proved she couldn't act.
Yeah.
Right.
And she's been out of the limelight forever. Why would anyone even care that she's getting serious with her new boyfriend?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Must be a slow news day. But in case anyone's curious, Ashley Simpson's getting serious with her new boyfriend.
Okay.
So something may happen there. I'm just saying. I'll keep you posted.
Yes, definitely. Get a Google alert on Ashley Simpson. Let us know. Wow. She's not getting back together with Pete Wentz, is she?
No. They are out. They're done. They're
okay.
Finished.
All right.
So that's good news. It is premiere week on television. A lot of new shows. A lot of your returning favorites. Wanted to give you a heads up every day so you can schedule accordingly. CSI, Crime Scene Investigation, comes back for its first show of the new season with a brand new star. Ted Danson will be heading up the CSI team this year.
Have you seen him do much serious work?
Yeah, Ralph, he's a brilliant
serious most famous
actor.
As a comedian. I guess Damages, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Is it a serious role?
Do yourself
for him,
a favor. Netflix, a little TV movie he made called Something About Amelia with Glenn Close.
Yeah.
One of the most chilling, disturbing performances you'll ever see.
Wow. I watch him on Bored to Death, and it's kind of a comic performance. It's hard for me to picture him as the CSI guy, but he's a good actor.
Yeah. Early reviews are he's really good.
Damages, of course, as we mentioned, even Body Heat was an early movie turn for him that he was serious in. It was real good. So he can do it all, that Ted Danson. Let's get him on the show. He said he'd come on for that Bored to Death show when we had Schwartzman on.
Yeah, I'd love to have Ted Danson on.
That show's coming back, too. We can get those guys on. The X Factor makes its big splash tonight, the new Simon Cowell music competition show. Paul Abdul and Simon back together again, along with skinny Randy Jackson and
Jelly Reed.
Some other chick. Harry's Law comes back for its first new episode tonight. That Kathy Bates, she sure is saucy, isn't she?
Yeah, she is.
The only reason I'm slightly interested, because Mark Valley's got a recurring role in that show, and I like him a lot. He was on Human Target, of course.
Yes.
Keen Eddie, so you check that out. Law & Order SVU returns with Mariska Hargitay. Criminal Minds. Revenge is a new series on ABC that makes its debut tonight. Modern Family's returning. And The Middle for ABC. Those comedies also returning tonight. So check it out. Jane Fonda bathed in her dog's ashes. I know it sounds creepy just by reading the headline, but it turns out the story is much creepier. She was in a hotel and someone left an urn on her table with a note said, "Until we meet again." Jane says, "I was returning home from work, and I thought, what could this be, and who's it from? So I opened the urn, and it appeared to be bath salts. ran a nice hot bath and dumped some of the salts into it. But a small fragment of bone fell out as well, and I realized with shock they were the ashes of my dog, Roxy.
This story sounds made up to me. I can't imagine
this.
I don't know, but can you? I mean, you've seen ashes, right? I've got Chin Ho and Santa's Little Helper on my mantle at home. If I were to open up the urn, I would look at them and I would go, not bath salts. Don't look the same as bath salts. Would never make that confusion.
First of all, Dexter Morgan, I've never seen a body cremated. I have never seen ashes from an animal or human body.
Really? You guys don't cremate your pets?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just saying they don't look like bath salts. That's all I'm saying. It just
isn't. He's got a lot of history with bodies and ashes. That's all I'm saying.
But you know what he doesn't have history with? Bath salts.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. What do your bath salts look like, Bean?
Well, I don't use them, but my wife does. I've seen them. I know what they look like. They don't look like ashes. It just this story rings untrue to me. Is what I'm saying.
Well, Jane says she took the bath anyway, and it felt good. She said.
Uh huh.
And her skin was silky.
Came out, had a bowl of kibble, and went right to bed.
What about the dogs?
Tony Parker can't seem to keep his mouth shut about his ex-wife, Eva Longoria. Makes me laugh. Star Magazine has a story about Tony talking about the fact that she was an awful housekeeper.
Well, duh.
Couldn't function without a staff to do everything for her. No surprises yet.
Nope.
But the last one shocked me. Terrible in bed.
Eva Longoria admits that she was terrible in bed, or Tony Gonzalez is claiming that?
Tony Parker.
Oh.
I need
to keep up.
Not Tony Gonzalez, who is a tight end for the Falcons, has nothing to do with this story.
All right. Go ahead. Say it again. Oh, so Tony Parker is basically throwing his ex-wife under the bus by saying she's bad at everything.
Yeah, come on.
What's the point of that?
Terrible in bed. Would you expect Eva Longoria to be terrible in bed? I thought if she could do one thing well, it would be that, because she is a spicy Latina.
Absolutely.
He married her anyway, huh?
Yeah, he married her anyway.
All right.
Yeah. But now he's sorry that he did. Mm-hmm. And poor Tom Sizemore can't catch a break. This guy's had more trouble with the law than Jesse James. The trouble-prone actor was popped for an outstanding warrant last Monday night. Mm. And it was bogus the way it happened, too. One of his acquaintances stole his car. Claimed that he was living at Tom's house, so the police show up Tuesday morning. And they just run a routine check on Tom, and it turns out he's got a warrant that's outstanding that was due to some paperwork being fouled up. And so they haul his ass off to jail. That's not right. Doing the best to clean up his life, as far as I can tell, and he's got a recurring role in Hawaii Five-0 this season. But apparently they're going to work it all out, and he'll be out of jail soon. So
I can't believe Tony Gonzalez stole his car, man.
Yeah, I know.
That's weird.
I can't believe Ashton Kutcher got in bed with Eva Longoria. They went to see Planet of the Apes.
And then a dead dog in the bed. It was just crazy.
You know, they were worried about Captain America not selling overseas because, well, America being in the title, and America maybe not being the most popular country with certain other countries right now.
Mm-hmm.
No worries. This week, Captain America, the First Avenger, has racked up more money overseas than it did in North America.
Wow.
Yeah. And the film will likely take even more money before it's all done because it has yet to debut in Japan. They should like a good World War II movie.
It's a great memory for them.
Yeah, I think they stay away from the whole Hawaiian thing.
That is amazing.
Well,
I don't know how they did it, Ralph, but they seem to have just nailed every aspect of this Avengers rollout, haven't they?
Yeah.
Every single movie has been great. Every single movie has done a nice job of kind of leading us toward the eventual Avengers movie. It just seems like they can't miss.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Today's celebrity birthdays: Jerry Bruckheimer, 66, Stephen King, 64, Bill Murray, 61, Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm is 46. How bummed does she have to be, by the way? It's not on the show anymore, and they have their best season in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Faith Hill's 44. Ricky Lake is 43. Liam Gallagher celebrates his 39th birthday. Nicole Richie. I'm going to scratch this name off.
Because why, really?
Why, really, am I talking about Nicole Richie? That's like the...
Maybe she's friends with Ashley Simpson.
Ashley Simpson of birthday lists. And Maggie Grace from Lost is 28 years old today. She'd look good if she was 48, wouldn't she? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Argar?
Well, you know, hello, is the thing on? Eddie Murphy is...
guilty.
Not charged with anything. He's going to be hosting the Oscars. And I am concerned about that.
Yeah,
I have reservations.
Too. You don't need reservations. It's free. I mean, I think it's just on ABC. You just turn on your...
Made me wish that Steve Martin was hosting it. Remember when he and Alec Baldwin did it? I thought that was so funny.
Terrific duo hosting.
Really
I
enjoyed
love
them. Well, as you know, Eddie and Murphy, excuse me, Steve and Eddie Murphy are buddies. They did Bowfinger together. Loved that movie. And so Steve Martin has taken upon himself to write an open letter to Eddie regarding his hosting gig on his website. And here are some of the quotes from the letter that was posted yesterday on Steve's website. Little advice for his buddy Eddie upon hosting the Oscars. Whatever you do, he said, don't have a co-host. They're a big pain, and they just end up breaking your Saturday Night Live hosting record. He said, referring to Alec Baldwin, of course. Start slimming down now, he suggested to Eddie. You look kind of paunchy in Norbit. People always say it's a disgrace that neither you nor I have ever won an Oscar, but they're just being correct. Fortunately, only you and I can get away with smuggling out an Oscar in our pants. And lastly, he suggested, remember to relax and have a good time while 12,000 live bloggers rip you to shreds. So those are some of the words of advice he has for Eddie in a very funny article on his website. You want to check that out. Congratulations. Congratulations to Chris Angel. He's engaged. The 41-year-old fake magician is engaged to Sandra Gonzalez is her name. He is 41. She is 21. So I'm sure the parents are very happy that she is dating a magician 20 years older than she is.
Sure. That's what every couple wishes for their little girl.
She is thrilled, I'm sure. Dancing with the Stars premiere this week. The first casualty of the battle for the mirror ball happened last night. Meta World Peace.
Oh, Meta with two T's.
Meta has been booted off the show. You may know him better as Ron Artest from the Los Angeles Lakers, but he is, in fact, Meta World Peace is officially his name now.
Have we ever spoken with listeners of this show who have changed their names?
I don't recall ever having done that.
Because imagine what it would be like to start with a blank slate as an adult and be able to pick anything in the world that you want that you can ask to have your name legally changed to. How do you settle on Meta with two T's World Peace?
Is it that big a deal what your name is?
I think so. I think it's a definite part of your identity. It's how everybody knows you and thinks of you.
They don't think of you by that. They just know you. That's just what they use when they're trying to get your attention, right?
Right, but when you think of any person,
sending you a letter or something, that's what they use. But it hardly defines you, I think.
No.
By changing your name, what are you really changing when you change your name?
What I'm saying is whenever you think of any friend that you have in the world, the first thing that comes to mind when you picture that person's face in your head is their name. Their name is their calling card.
Yeah, what if your name was Asshor?
Exactly.
That's a great question.
What if your name was Asshor? But what are the odds your name is Asshor? Look, if your name is Ron Artest and now suddenly it's Meta World Peace, what is that doing for you other than making you sound like a douchebag?
That's exactly what it is doing for you.
Right.
But I don't think we were talking about just those kinds of changes. Like if your name is Martha and you want to change it to something that's a little more contemporary.
But by the time you're changing it, as Bean said, everyone knows you as Martha. You are Martha.
If you've hated it your
Cindy.
Whole life.
Now you're Cindy. Now you're Cindy. So now it's magical. Now your life is so much better because you're Cindy and you're not Martha.
But at least you don't have to cringe every time you hear your name.
This is why I think it might be interesting to talk to people to find out what the reasons were they changed their names and how they decided what to change their name to. And if it made any difference in their lives. I don't know. It's just a subset of people that I don't think we've ever explored before. I find it fascinating.
It just seems the most superficial thing you could change. The thing that had the least impact on your life would be your name.
Ralph, there's a great girl I want you to meet. She's awesome. You guys will hit it off. Her name is Bertha.
Is she hot?
Her name
does
is
she,
Bertha.
Does she have big cans?
No, don't shake me off
no,
like that.
No, this is the question I'm answering if you said her name is Brenda or Susie or Louise.
Bertha? No.
Well, then they're not asking the right follow-up questions.
They're out.
Because what if you say, I got a great name, her name is Gwendolyn. Oh, wow, it sounds great. I get there and she's 300 pounds. Gwendolyn is 300 pounds.
It feels
Whose
like you have a
that?
Better chance with Gwendolyn.
Hey, Bertha's giving it up and she's hot. I'm there. I'm all about Bertha. I'm team Bertha at that
me,
point.
Me, my girlfriend, Bertha.
Well, let me look at her. Show me a picture. I'm not taking anything you say sight unseen. That's my point. You're dangerous. No one's naming anybody Bertha, by the way.
I hope not. Yeah.
I don't know. I think it would be a good call. But I just think of all the things you could change. Change your nose, change your job, change your boyfriend, your girlfriend, the place where you live, the city. There's so many things you could change that would make a real impact on your life. Name just seems superfluous.
But I have a feeling that people who, like Lisa said, they hate their name, it does make a difference on how they feel about themselves if they get a chance to change their name and kind of reinvent the way people think of them because of their name.
Less painful than plastic surgery.
Yeah, but I think, I don't know, I just don't think that it really
identifies you. Yeah. A rose, by any other name, would still smell as sweet.
Did you write that? Because that's beautiful.
Saith the bard. Saith the bard.
I think he's saying this because he had to learn to live with Ralph.
Oh. I dig Ralph. I wouldn't change Ralph for a million years.
Not now.
Not ever. Even growing up, it was cool because I was the only Ralph that people knew. I stood out. I was unique in that sense.
Okay.
As opposed to Mike. You know how many Mikes were in my class? You know how many Johns were in my class? How many Jasons? Boring. Go! Just saying. I dig it. I dig it the most. Michaela. Would you change Michaela?
I like
if your
Michaela.
Name was Michaela
no,
Salahi?
But that's no, the Salahi part.
How about Tariq? Tariq Salahi.
No, they both need to change their names.
Their names appear on TMZ's website today. Turns out, Michaela Salahi is a big old whore. Just a big old groupie slut.
Oh, it turns out, because that's not how we thought of her all this time.
Well, we didn't know. We thought she was a whore, but we didn't know she was banging rock guys. That was like her favorite flavor. But, of course, she did run off with the guitars from Journey. It turns out it looks like she had a little something-something with Steven Tyler of Aerosmith as well.
Really?
Oh.
There was a photo that TMZ's got that was taken backstage during an Aerosmith concert in nearby Virginia where they lived. And the story behind it is pretty cool. Apparently, Tariq was telling friends that he and Michaela went to the show together without any backstage passes. But then Michaela disappeared mysteriously for more than an hour. When she came back, she had a photo with Steven and all access stage passes for all Aerosmith concerts.
Wow.
How good is she?
She must be great.
Her explanation at the time was that, oh, me and Steven were just comparing stomachs to see who had a flatter stomach.
Are you a whore?
Yeah, that's why they give you all access passes for all Aerosmith concerts ever. A lifetime access pass for comparing bellies to see who's flatter. Maybe you compare the top of your head. Maybe he was examining the top of your head backstage. Maybe that was the examination.
Maybe he was.
Going on.
She has at least a baby in her at this point if she got the all access pass. Come on.
I don't know. Just saying. She's a whore.
And by the way, this is weird. He knows his wife and knows what she's like and knows what she does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he takes her to concerts and is right there with her trying to get backstage. And I get the feeling he doesn't care whatever she has to do in order for them to get close to celebrities. Go ahead and do it, honey.
I think he is a doughy, schlubby sort of guy with cash. And she is the hottest thing he's ever had on his arm.
Yeah.
And in a lot of those situations, those guys just allow themselves to be worked. They just
do whatever
it takes to make her happy, they put up with it. Now it takes him not being around her to make her happy, and he's not happy about that. Today's celebrity birthdays: Jerry Bruckheimer, 66. Stephen King, legendary author, is 64 years old today. Actor Billy Murray. That's very different. Bill Murray is 61 years old today. David James Elliott from JAG turns 51. Cheryl Hines is 46. Faith Hill, 44 years old. Ricky Lake, currently on Dancing with the Stars. She is 43 years old. Liam Gallagher, Oasis and BDI fame, is 39. And Maggie Grace from Lost celebrates her 28th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, thanks, Ralph. Tomorrow, it's an all-new Kevin and Bean show coming at you. We got a great program, including our old friend Joel McHale stopping by. Don't see Joel nearly as much as we used to.
He's
I miss
canceling.
Him so very much.
He's canceling. Let's face
it's
it.
A very good possibility of that. Yeah. Of course, Community comes back tomorrow night. That's a show that just gets further out every single season. It gets more and more bizarre, and I love it ever more. So he's going to be on tomorrow. Also, our old friend Jimmy Kimmel is going to be joining us. It's the most wonderful time of the year, Ralph. I'm sure you've got plans tomorrow night for the opening night of the Feast of San Gennaro.
Oh,
yeah. I look forward to that every year. Jimmy raising a lot of great money for charity with a terrific event in Hollywood. We'll talk to him about that. Our old friend Steve-O is going to be stopping by.
Yeah.
Fresh off the Charlie Sheen roast. We didn't even get a chance to talk about it much yesterday, about how he ended up getting a black eye from Mike Tyson on purpose at the roast. So we'll discuss that more with Steve-O tomorrow on the show. This week is the 20th anniversary of the release of an album by a band called Nirvana. The album was called Nevermind.
Mm.
It was their second record and the one that just blew up not only their careers, but changed the face of rock music. A lot of people are, yes?
Not familiar with it.
Oh, I think you'll recognize their songs when you hear them.
Sounds good.
A lot of people are reflecting back on what 1991 was like when Nirvana hit the scene and knocked Michael Jackson out of number one. And we'll be talking to an MTV correspondent about the plans the network has, including a reunion of two-thirds of Nirvana on their air. All of that tomorrow. And is that it? I've got that. I think we're...
Strong ending. Good. Well done. Way to bring it home. Nice
and we're also going to be talking to
You're
people...
the Mariana Ralph. Rivera of radio.
We're also going to be talking to people that I think you'll love this. People who have waited in line for something, who have gone and camped out. And sometimes it's Call of Duty. Sometimes it's the new Harry Potter movie. In this case, it's the people lining up for the latest Chick-fil-A location in Hollywood.
I'm sorry. What happened?
Yeah.
People are in line overnight for two nights waiting for Chick-fil-A to open. Right. By the way, there are several Chick-fil-A's within 30 minutes from where that location is.
But you can't get a chicken sandwich anywhere else.
Exactly. So we're going to talk to people what they've waited in line for the longest.
Go down and beat those people up.
I think that'll be fascinating. It all happens right here tomorrow.